Hey guys, welcome back to our podcast. Today we thought we would deep dive into feedback in yoga, and especially student feedback. How do you give it? How do you manage it without stress? When it's appropriate? What to do if you feel, you know, shy about it? How do teachers, I guess, perceive it too? So from the teacher perspective that's here with us, and maybe, I guess, how the teachers would like to receive it, right? And yeah, I guess from our perspective also as students, well, mine only as student, how that worked out in the past, and maybe from your perspective, Monica, how you would maybe advise me to do it in the future, I guess.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I wouldn't advise you to. Okay. I'm joking. So hello to our listeners and viewers once again. Yeah, I don't know. It's a delicate matter. On one hand, but on the other hand, it can be so constructive and rich, right? And you mentioned how you would like to bring about the way teachers give feedback to students about how they should practice physically or non-physically. But also it's the other perspective, no? When students sometimes would like to make their voice heard and speak to their teachers about how to make a class different, how to tailor it, or how to improve it. So that's also an interesting topic to explore. I would say that when teachers give feedback, it should ideally be from a very professional standpoint, because in a class, we're all there to make things better, no? Our bodies, our minds. And we as teachers are guiding participants to pass through an enriching experience, or at least a good enough one. Right? Let's be mediocre for a second, because that's still good. But the whole point of attending a class is to enhance your experience in yoga or your mental state, right? And I'd like to point out that the participants, the practitioners of yoga at any given time are the ones who know their bodies the best. So when you look at it, the person teaching that class that you attend can't possibly know how your anatomy functions, because it's very personal. If they're very experienced, for sure, after having a few looks at you, they will be able to tell where you're more flexible, where you look to be super tight. Sometimes you look like you have a serious back pain, and we can tell, and we try to protect you and cure around this pain that we notice. If it's a big class and we have a lot of people with particular situations to deal with at the same time, then we might ask you to stop for a second or skip that, because we don't have time to give a proper adjustment or to offer an alternative, although ideally we should. But again, it depends on the size of the class, no? Sometimes it's truly visible when you have a scoliosis, even though a discrete one. But generally, they normally don't hurt, right? But what I'm trying to say that if we talk about asana practice, when you're in pain, we can tell, and then we try to help you, you know, avoid deepening it. But going back to what I mentioned earlier, you are the best person to know your own limits. It's not the teacher. So if the teacher cues something that you know for sure that you will not be able to do, or that you are super not okay or afraid to do at that very moment, then just avoid it altogether, or ask for an alternative, or lay in balasana in child's pose for a little bit. No professional instructor or teacher should be, you know, offended by that. We try to motivate participants as instructors. And this might sometimes come across as being, you know, exaggerating a little bit. See? And over-cueing something. But we're doing that because we want you guys to have the absolute final picture, the final pose, the ultimate way that asana looks eventually. But some bodies will be able to go there, others will not. And we know that. And you should also know that. So don't compare your body to others' bodies. It's also, from my point of view, it's absolutely acceptable to do your own thing as long as it's not a completely opposite thing. I mean, if I'm cueing, I don't know, shoulder bridge, don't go in to handstand, maybe, because that's stupid. Don't do that. No, no, it's offensive. No, no, if offensive, it's there's no point, right? Because if you, I have this yoga teacher friend from Paris, and she always says, "Why are you paying for this class if you do your own thing?" Please try and do what I say, because you've paid money for it, for this guidance that I'm offering you, right? So since you're here, maybe just try to do what I say. But again, this is with the bigger context. And the context was that sometimes what I say as a teacher is absolutely not right for you. No? And then you take your decision and take a completely different course of action. And that's okay. And again, we're able to tell. You know, I mean, we're able to tell if you just feel creative or if you are avoiding something for a specific purpose. I would say a lot of teachers are able to tell. So,
yeah, but I think then for, you know, students that aren't as versed in yoga, let's say, I would think it's up to the teacher, and you can agree or disagree there, but I think it's up to the teacher to then also offer alternatives. Right. Depending, of course, if it's a beginner friendly or not class, if you go to an advanced one, you might not get those. But, and it's good, I guess, from that perspective also to know what class you're getting into, and also for the teacher to be clear, or for the studio, whatever, what class that is. But outside that, it would be good, right, then to be like, okay, if you, you know, if you don't want to do, or, you know, whatever, downward dog is too challenging, you could do child's pose and, you know, whatever. I guess that's because, yeah, if you're a beginner, you wouldn't even know how to modify or understand your body.
Exactly.
Or the poses,
yeah.
Even.
Yeah. Yeah, this is why ideally we should all be attending classes from four different levels of physical capability, but it's depending on the country or location or how evolved yoga is in that space, you will not encounter classes separated for levels. The perfect, the best way for you to have an ideal experience that is very tailored to your own body, especially if you have issues in your body or mind, like pain or specific ailments, is to take privates, to take one-to-one sessions. Because it's only in that way that you can ensure that practice will be suitable and tailored for your own body. But absolutely, I absolutely agree, the teacher is responsible for you to have a good enough, a decent experience, which means you as a teacher are responsible to offer alternatives for sure. And it's I can think of some examples now. It's quite a challenging pose for some of us. For instance, it's challenging in the way that some of us have hips that are super open and flexible. Others absolutely do not. And if we think of this pose called Hasta Padangushtasana, It's a balance pose. You stand tall and you grab one big toe with your hand from the same side, right? And you extend the knee forward and you just hold on to your toe, right? That's super accessible for some of us. For others, it's no way. They can't even extend the knee or, and you also open this leg, right, to the sides, and this is where the hip flexibility also comes in. But this is something that's more approachable if you offer the option of Vrikshasana, which is tree pose, because then your foot is resting on the inner thigh of the other leg, right? You have more stability there, and it feels safer and more secure. And I mean, yeah, examples can vary. It's very important how you do that, though. Some of us are super sensitive and would really hate to be singled out in a class. It also depends a lot on your tone. Like, if you attend my class and you have several other, tens of people there, and I say, Alex, stop doing that. That's like super powerful. And why does she have to utter my name and be so abrasive?
Yeah, it's
No?
that's it is. Yeah, I think I would be,
No?
like
Yeah.
discouraged.
Discard, yeah. What? No, I just want to. Don't make me stand out from the crowd. Just let me be. And also, am I doing something wrong? Define wrong. What is wrong? I mean, yeah. So I have found out that the best way is to be as neutral as possible and not nominate people. I mean, it's a different thing when they participate at your classes for ages and you know them by name, and using the appropriate tone, you might offer them a variation and they know what you're talking about, so that's a different story, right? Also, try to be as neutral as possible in the sense that you can't possibly, or you shouldn't say, if this is too difficult for you, then here's an option. I mean, don't make me feel less abled than all of the other bodies in this room, right? I would not like to be told that. Others are my are the others would probably don't have a problem with that, but some of us do. So what I would like to hear as a participant is maybe something along the lines of, not even here is an easier option. Or what I would like to hear is if this doesn't feel right for you at this moment, maybe. No. Or if you think it's too much, or if you don't want to go as
I
deep into the
think,
pose as that, how about this? Maybe. And to me, that sounds neutral, and then you got it, right? I mean, you're getting it. It's not about being it e about it being easy or hard for you, because this makes you feel less able, right? Less able-bodied. But and also you can maybe you could do that at a different point in time. Maybe you've had a tough night, or you're not you haven't eaten, or you don't feel well, or you have a pain, so you will not go into the full representation of the pose at this moment. So you go into a variation. So do that. So yeah, it's not about it being easy or difficult. So
I think that for me at least that sounds about right, so to speak, because in saying, do what's right for you, it's I would say it's a neutral but also explicit cue, so it makes sense. And then it also doesn't give you the reasons, whatever is right in that moment, for whatever reason. Which I think it's a nice way and maybe a more inviting way for people to actually take that into account versus if you were to say, well, if you can't do it, which I don't think teachers do, but I'm just saying, if whatever, if you're not so advanced, which might be more discouraging just because to your point, you kind of, without even realizing, you're kind of competing with everyone.
yeah, it
There,
invites
so you
competition,
don't,
exactly.
right? So you don't want to be the one that is not as advanced, although you're not. But So I think, yeah, it's definitely a way to, I think, get more people to actually do what feels right, rather than trying to outperform the person
Yeah,
next to them or whoever,
and
I don't know,
that's
is around in the class.
yeah, because ultimately that's what you guys about, no? Having a full experience and not hurting yourself. It's ahimsa, right? We remember from when having some when broadcasting some episodes on the Yamas and the Niyamas. We try not to hurt others, but let's try to not hurt ourselves first. There's also another way of giving feedback, which is not exactly giving feedback, but rather cueing. So if we as teachers sometimes notice someone, or especially if we notice several people doing the same misalignment, because we can't call it mistake, it's just you know, it's something that doesn't bring you in the sweet spot, but takes you out of it. We might sometimes stop the sequence, the class, and say, "Okay, hold on, teaching moment, teaching moment." And then we go somewhere where you can see our body and where we are exposed and visible. And then we enter the pose ourselves, and we say, "Stop doing this, but rather do this, like shoulders away from ears." For instance, I'm choosing a really basic, super basic example just to make my point clearer. This is a consequence, and it's a form of feedback, and it's a consequence of what we've noticed in several people around the class. So this is, if we do that, it means somebody's doing it wrong. Or, you know, like we say in Romanian, somebody's cabbage, or a disaster, or what's the English equivalent for it? It's just not okay. You're a total mess. And we don't want to say that. And then we, or sometimes we say it because we want to be super warm and humorous. And we want to help participants get accustomed to our style of teaching. And we say, you're, that's, no, that's wrong. That's wrong. But we obviously should be smart enough to make it clear that it's a joke. And it's not like we're really telling you that you're a mess, right? Yeah, it's about your personality as well, how you deliver the feedback, no? I would say.
Yeah, and I think kind of picking on that a bit because you touched on personality. You know, students, obviously everybody, so students included, have of course different personalities. Some may be more shy, some may be, you know, interpreting the social cues differently, whatever, right? We're all different. So I guess from your perspective as a teacher, when do you or how would you feel that the student should provide feedback, let's say, and maybe when are appropriate times to do that, right? So during a class, because of course the teacher, you know, is teaching, so you don't want to interrupt them, but maybe you do have a problem or whatever in a certain pose, or maybe you don't understand, or maybe you know the cue is confusing, whatever it is to you. So yeah, from your perspective, what would be maybe your advice or ideally how you feel that would work best in a yoga class?
To answer your question, yes, yoga teachers are more than happy to receive feedback from their students. It's also a good idea to do that as a student, as a participant in a class, if you feel the teacher is at the very beginning of his career and he could really use some broadening of their knowledge, right? Some deepening of their knowledge. It's also very good to tell them your own story with personal ailments or personal issues or what brought you to yoga. And this is why you have, you should be having enough time to socialize before or after class, ideally. And if you're pregnant or if you have a physical ailment, or anything that you feel they should know of, you should definitely be telling them before the class starts, because if you don't, they will assume that you're okay, that you're super healthy, that you're fine. Some people are just have a big belly and they're not pregnant, and it's super wrong and painful to assume that somebody is when they're not. Like I did more than one occasion, but anyway. Yeah, so if you have something to say, just say it. It's good to give feedback about how they should be handling or guiding you. And try not to interrupt. Try not to interrupt the class, because the class is not about you, it's about everyone's experience. So you should respect that. Try to find the teacher afterwards and say, "Hey, I think you were a bit harsh when you did that. I think you should pay more attention to this rather than to that," and so on and so forth.
That's good feedback from the teacher perspective, just because I don't know that many people would be inclined to wait for the end. They might be just very focused on what they're doing, right then and there, and be like, "I don't understand," or get frustrated and just interrupt.
Yeah, don't do that.
Because
No.
you're your own world, right? And you're just trying to figure out stuff. And I think, that's clearly just, very human. But yeah, I think that's good to kind of have maybe the advice in the back of your mind and the presence to not interrupt, and then do it
Yeah.
at the end and talk to the teacher.
Yeah, exactly. So we had some quick insights on giving and receiving feedback from both perspectives, that of a participant and that of a student. Yeah, so if there are supplementary things that you would like us to talk about, you're always welcome to drop some comments here or on Spotify or wherever we are on social media, because we're on many places.
Yeah, right. Or Instagram, and maybe just tell us how you've done it in the past, if you ever, as a student, ever given feedback. How did that go for you? Or maybe go on and do it now and tell us after how that went, and what tips and tricks you might have, I guess, for this.
Exactly. That's always welcome as a feedback.
Yes, exactly. All right. Well, thank you for tuning in, guys. Remember to like if you liked it, and subscribe if you like us and want to hear more from us. And we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.